Welcome to Australian Women Preach, a podcast that aims to raise women's voices in preaching the gospel. Our intention is to model the church we want to be, inclusive, diverse, and welcoming. Brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. Dr. Catherine Playoust is a Roman Catholic laywoman and a biblical scholar. She comes from Sydney and lives in Melbourne, where she teaches at Catholic Theological College within the University of Divinity. Catherine's research focus is early Christian literature, inside and outside the New Testament.
Hello, everyone. I'm speaking from Wurundjeri country, and I pay my respects to the elders past and present of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and also to the traditional owners of the lands from which you're listening. My thanks to Australian Women Preach as well for providing this opportunity. Today, I am preaching on the Gospel for Palm Sunday, commemorating the Passion of the Lord. We'll be considering the Year B option, which is chapters 14 and 15 of Mark's Gospel. These are long chapters, starting from a few days before Jesus' death and going up to his burial, and encompassing the Last Supper, then the trial and crucifixion of Jesus. But I'm taking the key to our interpretation from very early in Mark's Passion narrative. Jesus is dining at Bethany when a woman enters and pours costly ointment on his head. Jesus interprets this action as her anointing his body beforehand for his burial. He knows that he will soon be killed, and the scene is part of how Mark's Gospel prepares us to hear the account of Jesus' suffering and death. Jesus goes on to say that what she has done will be told in memory of her. That's an expression that may be familiar to some of you, because In Memory of Her is the title of a famous book on feminist biblical interpretation by Elizabeth Schuessler Fiorenza. In the writing of Mark's Gospel, in the writing of that book, in this sermon right now, we see that this woman and her action are indeed still remembered. This is part of the wider activity of remembering Jesus' passion that we see going on in the New Testament. In those early decades, Christians told and retold that story, highlighting the events and insights that were precious to them. Then, a couple of generations after Jesus' crucifixion, Mark and the other evangelists wrote down detailed accounts that express how they had come to remember what happened. But why do they preserve this memory? What Jesus says about the woman who anoints him gives us the clue. What she has done will be told in memory of her, wherever the good news is proclaimed in all the world. Even when speaking of his burial, Jesus looks ahead in hope. He knows that he will rise, and he knows that his followers will go out to spread the good news. Even the text of Mark's Gospel, Mark's Good News, is part of that proclamation. And when we open it up in prayer, teaching, and preaching, we join in the hope of the resurrection and the reign of God. Another place where we see memory and hope working together is in the Last Supper. The meal, with its singing of psalms at the end, is organized as a celebration of the Jewish feast of Passover. The ritual commemorates how God freed the Israelites from their enslavement and proclaims that God continues to be a saving God. Jesus honors and upholds these beliefs but also takes the opportunity to speak of his coming death. Taking bread and wine, Jesus offers them to his disciples as his body and blood. He is confronting his death. His blood is to be poured out for many, but it is a death that has a covenantal purpose, creating a new commitment between God and humanity. As he puts it earlier in the Gospel, he is giving his life as a ransom for many, liberating us and giving us life. Jesus also looks beyond his death to his own new life, declaring that the next time he drinks wine will be in God's reign, and saying after the meal that after his resurrection he will go before them to Galilee. The followers of Jesus recall the scene of the Last Supper several times in the New Testament, and a breaking of bread communion ritual becomes a normal part of early Christian practice, even if "do this in memory of me" is not actually found in Mark's version of this story. After his arrest, Jesus goes on trial before the Jewish authorities. Here, it is false and confused memories that come to the fore. There are conflicting statements about Jesus promising to destroy the temple and then raise up another one in 3 days that is not made by human hands. Interestingly, John's Gospel does recall something along these lines as a genuine statement by Jesus. Jesus refuses to speak in his defence at his trial, but finally utters a prophecy. Admitting that he is the Christ and the Son of God, he declares that they will see the Son of Man seated at God's right hand and coming with the clouds of heaven. This is a reference to a vision in Daniel. And for Christians, it expresses the hope that Jesus Christ will come again in glory. The scene where Peter is outside in the courtyard of the high priest, while Jesus is inside on trial, also explores these themes of memory and hope. Memory is woven through the whole episode. A slave of the high priest sees Peter, and she recalls that he was with Jesus, the man from Nazareth. Peter explicitly and repeatedly denies memory of his association with Jesus. And when the cock crows a second time, Peter faces his lies, remembering that Jesus had predicted that Peter would deny him. Hope is harder to see here. In the short term, Peter is weeping, but it resides in what Peter did the next days and years. Instead of continuing to deny Jesus, Peter became a great witness to the good news, overcoming his fears even up to his own death for his beliefs. As for the slave, we don't know whether she or the other bystanders saw the grief-struck tears that followed his fear-filled responses that night. But I like to wonder whether she heard Peter preaching later on, and what she came to think in the end about Jesus, the man from Nazareth. Jesus is transferred to the Roman authorities, and eventually Pontius Pilate, the Roman prefect, decides that Jesus will be executed. When he is going to be crucified, the Roman soldiers force a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, to carry his cross. We never find out what Simon himself thinks of this, but Mark's Gospel does give us a detail that is not in the other Gospels. Simon of Cyrene is the father of Alexander and Rufus. Apparently, the hearers of this Gospel are supposed to know who Alexander and Rufus are, so conceivably they were members of the Markan community. What would it have been for them to hear Jesus in Mark's Gospel say that his followers must take up their cross and follow him, when their father had carried Jesus' actual cross. These thoughts can only be speculation, but they point once again to the hope that goes beyond the dreadful suffering of the cross-bearing and crucifixion. The memory of Jesus' death carries forward into early Christian communities that celebrate the freedom his death has brought. When Jesus is crucified, none of his followers are close by, according to this gospel. But there are women watching from a distance, particularly Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph, and Salome. Mark's gospel takes the rather belated opportunity here to tell us that they had been following Jesus and caring for him when he was in Galilee. This calls for us to rewrite our memories from the earlier chapters of Mark's gospel to some extent. While Jesus was healing, casting out demons, and preaching, accompanied by 12 male disciples, he was also being supported by a group of female followers. And at this point in the story, there is a special role as memory custodians for Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph. They watch as the precious body of Jesus is taken down from the cross and buried in a tomb, and they will come back to that same tomb on Easter morning to find it empty. The angelic figure at the tomb will tell them that Jesus is risen and has gone ahead to Galilee, just as he predicted after the Last Supper. It takes Jesus' followers some time to believe it, but they do end up spreading the message. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. This is our memory and our hope. Amen.
You have been listening to Australian Women Preach, brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. You can find out more about WATAC at watac.net.au and The Grail at grailaustralia.org.au. The music in this podcast is from the song Truth, from the album Into Silence, by songwriter, musician, theologian and teacher Danielle Ann Lynch. You can hear the full version on Spotify.